worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Sarah Ann Shockley, and she's the author of The Pain Companion, Everyday Wisdom for Living With and Moving Beyond Chronic Pain. And Sarah, I know that you understand, like, when you try all these treatments and you change your diet and you do all these therapeutic things and none of that works, and then you realize, oh, there's this whole emotional body that's mm-hmm. coming up. That's part of it too. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you want to add to that?
Yeah, just to say that it was so important for me to witness myself in that by reading back what I'd written about it, and to realize that I was in a lot of emotional pain that I hadn't allowed myself to see and hadn't made room for and hadn't realized was part of the pain package, so to speak. And I think that's important for listeners who are in pain to understand that sometimes we can almost slide into a depressed state without realizing it because we're feeling ashamed of being in pain and not even recognizing necessarily that's what we're feeling, but it's just there. Feeling bad about feeling bad is the way I put it. And we're experiencing this erosion of our life. Sometimes it happens overnight, but sometimes it's also a slow erosion because you're in pain. You're losing more and more of your life to pain is what it feels like. So there's a tremendous sense of loss and grief that goes with that, as I mentioned before. So I think it's one of the first things to do, or one of the first ways of beginning to heal even the physical part of pain, is to recognize the emotional aspects of physical pain, the emotional life of physical pain, and to begin to mitigate that and begin to find ways to live with that and change your relationship with that. So that's a lot about what the first part of my book is about, is talking about those, recognizing those, and then providing what I call antidotes, you know, ways of re-engaging with life, ways of being with life differently, ways of perceiving that you're not wrong. It's not a mistake. A lot of times we blame ourselves for being in pain. So the emotional component's really strong and really important to be recognized by ourselves to ourselves, and also as part of our overall culture and the way we deal with pain. It's really important to understand that people in long-term pain are going through a lot more than just the physical aspects of it, and to begin to make space for that. I would like to see in our medical culture move a little closer to what feels more healing to me, and that is, maybe it's more old school, but to allow some space and time for when a patient comes in to see a doctor to allow their whole self to show up. In other words, a lot of times we go in and we have something going on and we feel like the doctor, unwittingly, it's the training, it's the medical system we're in, it's not blaming anybody, but we kind of feel like they're talking to our condition and not us, you know, and we don't always feel heard. We don't feel seen. And I believe that it's really important part of our healing to allow the whole person to be involved in the healing process, to include the whole person, because the whole person is affected by pain. Even if it's mostly in your left knee, it's all of you is feeling that and all of you is experiencing that. And it feels to me from my experience that part of the healing is to, as a practitioner or as a friend or as a family member, to allow the person in pain to be in the pain they're in for a moment before we try to push them towards healing. So
we want to fix people.
And of course we do, because we love them.
Yes.
Sometimes it's because we're uncomfortable with their pain ourselves.
That's right.
Sometimes we're afraid of pain, but it's also the paradigm we're in around pain that I'd like to see change. And I think part of what I'm doing now is in talking about this is hoping to be a voice for this kind of change. But part of it is that we perceive all pain as bad, and that the first thing we do then, if pain is bad and it's a mistake and it's wrong and you must have done something wrong to get in this pain, then we have to stop it immediately. We start from stopping pain. We start there. And because this is the ocean we swim in, so to speak, that may sound strange. Like, of course you want to stop pain, because we accept it that that's what we're supposed to be doing, stopping the pain. But in my experience of living it with it for so long, and in talking to many, many people who've had chronic pain over time, that approach of fighting it and stopping it and holding it as bad doesn't seem to be working for us
very well.
Well,
there's that phrase, what you resist persists.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're kind of locking it into place. There's a sort of a line of battle drawn. And on one side is pain, and on the other side is all these treatments we're trying. We're trying all these various different things. And the reason I feel that a lot of them aren't working, even alternatives, and they may work for a while, or they may work for some people and not other people, but I think the reason we don't have a definitive answer for chronic pain and for the way we're approaching chronic pain is that we're all of them are starting from the place of let's end this pain right now.
So am I getting this correct in your estimation that when the pain first comes on, and it might even come on a little slowly, and then we have that attitude, mm-hmm. oh, well, we'll fix this. We'll take this treatment or take this pill or whatever it is. And sometimes that might work.
Yes.
But then if it persists and we've tried, we've gone to all sorts of doctors or all alternative therapists or whatever, and now what's laying on to it, something else happens. It's like it morphs, is what I'm mm-hmm. going to say. It yeah. morphs because it starts collecting this other baggage, which is exacerbating it, which is that emotional body that it's collecting.
Well, that's true. That's true. That they kind of interlock with each other. And it's not that the emotional part is, I don't ever want to give the feeling to listeners that it's a mistake or it's wrong to have those emotions. Those are natural emotions. It is scary to be in pain. It is, you do lose a lot. It is sad. You know, in other words, I never want to give the impression I'm saying that that's a problem. That's just part of the package. That's what happens.
So it's like accepting that in some way.
It's a way of, yes, and it's a way of moving. I'd rather see us move away from the sense of pain as an enemy and pain as something to be killed and stopped, not to the place of, oh, I love pain, I want to enjoy it. No, not that, but to go to the place of, okay, pain has shown up. It's already here. What is its purpose? And one of the things I started working with and when I was going in my own trip and my own journey through this was how can I find a different way of being with pain? Fighting it isn't working. And just putting up with it isn't working. How can I create a relationship with pain? That's not something we do. We're taught to hate it, to be angry at it, to put it away, to not show it, to consider it wrong and bad. So when you have pain in your body for a long time, you begin to feel like you're the mistake. You're wrong. You're bad. Something you must have done something awful for this. This must be a punishment. And you'll even see that in a lot of our not just the pain, the medical community says, you know, why aren't you out of pain? You mm-hmm. must be malingering. You must not be trying hard enough. That comes from that. But it also comes from the New Age community unwittingly says, well, if you're in pain, you must be resisting your good or you must be, you know, whatever. From Christianity, we get it's a trial from God or you don't have enough faith. Or so all of these attitudes are starting from the place that pain is wrong. Therefore, the person who's still in pain becomes wrong over time. And we can't seem to move. I don't feel we're going to be able to heal chronic pain till we get out of that starting place. Go right back to the way we perceive pain, which then leads to the way we respond to it, which then leads to the way we experience it, which then leads to the way we heal it or don't heal it. So we have to go all the way back to what is pain? Why is it here?
So what I'm getting there, as I was going through your book, and I came up with this analogy, and you have several wonderful analogies in the book that you use. I love. And the one that I came up with at some point was, oh, okay, pain, it's like a Tolkien novel, and I'm going through the Badlands.
Yes.
But I have this guide. And the guide is pain.
Exactly.
And that, like, oh, even though it's a very difficult guide.
Absolutely. It's not one we would choose. Pain has become a mentor to me and a teacher and absolutely a guide. And certainly I wouldn't run up and sign up for that. Nobody would. But when I have found that the best way, seemingly to me, and I would, you know, whatever way people can find to get through pain, I would support. But for me and for many of the people I've talked to, changing that perception of pain from this enemy, horrible, demonic thing to a guide, a messenger, it's a signal from your body to you. And in a sense, it's you talking to you. So it's the hurting part of you asking for attention. That's a different way of seeing pain right there. And when you shift that, just that slight seeming shift is extremely profound in the way that it feels in your body, in the way it feels in your life. Suddenly there's something opens up around hope. Something opens up in our minds to allow more avenues for healing. If we understand that, oh, pain is the feeling of me trying to heal something. It's not my enemy. It doesn't feel good. I don't like it. I certainly want it to be over, but fighting it isn't making it over faster. It just is. And just taking medications, if that's all we're offered, then again, I'm not against medications. A lot of people can barely function without them, and I support whoever needs to take them. And let's not leave it there. Let's not have that be the only thing we're offered.
One of the analogies you use in really working with pain, and I love this, it's like this whiny kid that's just whining and whining, and you're really busy, and you say, okay, just be quiet. And finally, it just gets so insistent that you finally just come down to the level of this kid, and you look them in the eye and say, okay, what do you want?
Yeah.
What is it that you want? I mean, you have to stop and do that. And that's what you're talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking about with pain. We when we think of pain as an enemy and as a force to be conquered, then we're always in the battle. There's no coming out of that battle. Now, sometimes we win it, meaning the pain ends and it's short term and it's fine. But in chronic pain, we're clearly not winning that battle. Nobody is. It's on and on and on. So I began to think of ways, how can I communicate with pain? How can I work with pain? And one of them was like, wow, what if pain isn't the enemy? And I thought, pain is annoying. And I got that idea of it's like a little kid pulling on what if pain was closer to being, not that it's a little kid, but what if I thought of it that way, as something in me that was hurting that needed attention? So if a little kid came up to me, or my child, my son said, I'm hurting, I wouldn't punch him or push him away or say, shut up, or go, you know, that's what we do to pain.
Right.
So I thought, you know, if we can turn toward pain, which is something we're absolutely told never to do. And this works for emotional pain as well as physical pain. But if we turn toward it and say, okay, and just kind of relax and drop the whole battle, you know, take our armor off and say, What do you have to offer? What are you trying to communicate?
That may surprise us when we get to that point. So I'd like to remind our listeners that I'm here with Sarah Ann Shockley, and she is the author of The Pain Companion, Everyday Wisdom for Living with and Moving Beyond Chronic Pain, of which she has had and continues to have some deep experience with. And I want to remind our listeners that I'm Justine Willis-Toms, and you're listening to New Dimensions. Here with Sarah Ann Shockley, and she is the author of The Pain Companion, Everyday Wisdom for Living with and Moving Beyond Chronic Pain. And we've been spending time really setting the stage of the paradigm that we live in about pain, the prejudices, the sense of isolation, the sense of blame, the anger, the emotions. And that is something that is often not in the dialogue. It's not really being explicit, although it's implicit in what is going on when we're in this kind of chronic pain. So I really appreciate, Sarah, that you're setting that stage to help us to understand the territory that we're actually living in and not denying it. And I'd love for you to go on with that premise and that paradigm. What advice and what insights you have for us now?
Yeah, absolutely. So practically speaking, in terms of, well, what do I do with this, you know, in my daily life with pain? That's basically what the book is about, is how to live with the pain you're already in, the little more grace and ease. And part of that, of course, is recognizing and working with the emotional aspects. But part of it also is working directly with the physical pain in the body. And I do that with totally non-medical means and non-pharmaceutical means. These are things that people can do on their own at home anytime they want to. And it's a way of creating a different kind of relationship with the pain in the body. Because what you're doing, When we shift this paradigm into recognizing that pain is here for a purpose, it has a positive purpose, it is an aspect of our healing. You know, we're all going to meet pain at some point on our path in life. It's emotional pain, it's physical pain. It may be here for a short time, it may be here for a long time. But to understand it's part of the human journey. We've somehow tried to pull it out of the human journey and say it's different, it's wrong, it's not part of it. If you meet it, you've done something wrong. It's a mistake. So we want to move away from that and understand that if it's here, it's here. It must have a purpose. So being with it differently. And one of the ways to do that is to begin to kind of set up a communication with it. And so I have a lot of different imaginative kind of creative exercises to do that with. And one is, of course, doing what I did originally, which is writing letters to pain and just expressing how you feel. And you might write letters that express your anger and your, you know, the frustration and how horrible it's been. And I fully support getting that out of your system. You know, talk to pain the way you really say what you really feel about it, get it out. And then what I did is I let pain write back. So how to do that is you just simply step into, in a sense, inside yourself, the energy or the feeling of the pain and allow it to write you a letter. And you might be surprised what pain writes. You might be expecting that pain's message to you would be rather negative or awful or blaming. And by and large, it usually isn't. Pain is usually asking for something. It's asking for attention. It's asking for a different kind of attention than we usually give it. So often when we communicate with pain, and I would also say another way to do this would be, imagine pain is sitting in a chair across from you, or get up and sit in that chair as pain and pretend you're talking to you. You may be surprised at what comes out. Pain may be asking you to slow down. Pain may be asking you to be softer with it and with yourself. Pain may be asking for compassion rather than your anger and hatred. Now, and your anger and hatred are completely understandable. But if when we can shift into going, oh, I don't like this. It's really painful. Yet the pain itself begins to release and get a little bit less acute when we release our feelings towards it as that battling.
Well, sense. That battling feeling just naturally is contractive.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. There's physiological responses to it. You're tenser, we contract. And the other thing I work with in the book is working with awareness and breath. So our first response to physical pain usually is we hold the breath, we pull it in, and we contract our whole body. But often mostly we contract around the pain. We're trying to stop it. We're trying to stop the pain from spreading. We're trying to, not necessarily consciously, but this is kind of our natural response to it because it hurts. Sometimes we hold our breath to almost build a wall of breath between us and the pain, if that's possible. But as we try to do that, we take very shallow breaths. And I started working with this when I tried to meditate while I was in pain. I thought, well, I can meditate. Well, that backfired because I couldn't sit up straight very well for any length of time without the pain getting much worse. I couldn't do deep breathing without getting much worse. So traditional meditation didn't work for me. And I know some people do use it to good effect with pain. I had to start with the most lightweight stuff. So I went into more creative avenues. But while I was looking at meditating, I began to notice my breathing patterns. And I noticed that I was holding my breath a lot. And I noticed this trying to stop pain with my breath. And I thought, I don't think that's really probably really healing, because we need to have the blood flow. We need the tissues, need the blood and the oxygen to heal. So if we're holding our breath and we're contracting and we're tense, that's physiologically not helping our healing. But it's also something really interesting happens when you begin to take a positive attitude towards pain and begin to actually give it things instead of trying to withdraw from it and take from it. So I started to do kind of almost opposite things that were very counterintuitive, like, okay, what if, just sort of like what we were talking about earlier, if I think of it as almost a little kid looking for attention, what if I just imagine myself kind of sitting next to the pain in my body, just maybe pick the place of the worst pain, and listeners can even try this now, and just quietly breathe next to the pain. Just be with it without pushing it away. Just let it be where it is. I don't have to like it. I can just be there. And that in itself,
it feels so loving.
Yeah, it's a very different stance. And pain, because it's part of you, really, it recognizes that that's what's happening. It begins to relax. It's, again, if we think of it as the part of us that is asking for help, that is already hurting, then we don't want to beat it up. We want to actually be softer with it and kinder with it. And when we learn how to be softer and kinder with pain, we learn about how we can be with ourselves differently. We learn compassion for ourselves. We learn to give ourselves a break. We learn to give ourselves more space for being who we are, and not having to be perfect all the time, and not having to heal right now today. Pain is going to take the time it takes. As we said before, it's got its own timetable. So we can fight with that as long as we want to, but I think that's part of what locks pain in place. But if we can let go of that and realize, okay, it's got its own timing, somehow that speeds up the timing because it allows it to be where it is. So you can work with breath by imagining you're breathing with it next to it. You can work with breath by giving pain breath, allowing pain to breathe. And I thought, well, what if I did the opposite of trying to contract it? What if I allowed it more space? Which sounds really scary when you're in a lot of pain. That sounds like the worst thing to do. But I had nothing else, you know, to go with. And I thought, okay, I'm going to pain, take the space you need. And pain just kind of feels, and many people have tried this. You just say, okay, let's give pain breath, give it space. And it starts to relax out. And it sort of begins to dissipate around the edges. Does it go away? No. Is it immediate miraculous healing? I would hope so, but not usually. But if you can play with these things, you begin to find out that pain can shift. And when you find out that pain can shift at all, you know it can shift more. And that brings in hope, and that brings in healing. And that begins to allow, plus when we breathe differently, we're allowing that healing breath to move through the body. We're allowing the blood flow. We're allowing the tissues to restore themselves. I mean, there's actual physiological responses too that go with it. So we're working on all kinds of levels, and we're bringing in more aspects of ourselves into the healing process, which I think is really, really important, because we have to know that when we're healing chronic pain, we're healing the whole self. That's really important.
I know one of the techniques that you use also is through art.
Mm-hmm.
That using, maybe you could speak briefly about
that. Yeah, I do encourage people to express their pain, and because I found it so important. The first time pain began to release for me was when I began to express it. So I used through writing, but then you can. I wasn't able to hold a paintbrush very well, but if you are able to do any kind of painting or drawing. Sometimes painting's easier because the paint moves easier across the surface. So when you're in pain, you want something to really flow. But if you need to spatter it or throw things on, you know, whatever, your first painting might look all black and dark because you're needing to express that part of it. But as you express that and you kind of move through that, then you can express other aspects of it too. And you can express your desire to heal. You can express what you imagine healing would be like. And I also say, let pain do a painting. You know, step into pain and say, here, you take the brush and see what happens. And it's just a way.
So another way that you get this other communication.
Yes, it's a way of, oddly, what we want to do is exclude pain from our experience but it's already here. So for me, what I found the most healing path is to include it and allow it to be where it already is. And when we include it in, it does begin to heal. It begins to shift. And I've made tremendous shifts in my pain in the last few years from doing all these things. So, and my readers have told me that it's really helped them a lot. So as strange as this may sound to some people who are listening in pain, like, what? I would never do that. I encourage you to experiment. Become curious about your pain. Become curious about what it's here for. If there's a reason for it, and if the reason isn't bad, if the reason isn't you're bad, you made a mistake, well, what is the positive reason? And what can I learn from this? And how can pain be a guide and a teacher to me? And again, it's not the teacher we really would like to sign up for, but if it's already here, it probably has something to share. And I have gained tremendous amount from being in pain. Would I wish this journey on anyone? No. Would I want to repeat it? No. But I've learned a great deal about compassion for others, compassion for myself. I feel like I've gained a lot of insights into life. And you certainly have to be able to come into the core of yourself and find the deepest part of yourself to be able to get through this journey with pain.
Sarah, thank you so much for being with us. I've been speaking with Sarah Ann Shockley. She's the author of The Pain Companion, Everyday Wisdom for Living with and Moving Beyond Chronic Pain. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, sarahannshockley.com, S-A-R-A-H-A-N-N-E, Shockley, S-H-O-C-K-L-E-Y, SarahAnnShockley.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3648.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Guy Finley, author of Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. And next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about how you can enrich every part of your life through your relationships.
From music composition to the soundscapes of our built and natural environments, the study of sound can be approached from many perspectives. The Faculty of Communication, Art, and Technology offers courses in sound in each of these three schools. Open to any undergraduate student interested in studying sound, The new certificate in sound offers the opportunity to gain recognition for a broad study of sound across a variety of disciplines. Talk to your advisor or visit FCAT's website for more details about the certificate.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.